Howdy, everybody. Welcome back to Readin' Heathens, the unholy and wholly uninformed Bible study podcast. I'm your host, Adam B., here with your other host, Daniel T. How you doing, Daniel?
Doing great, man. How you doing, bub?
Fine.
That's the best we can ask for in this podcast.
I think our last episode was awful, Daniel.
Well, it wasn't awful. It's like, it's just, you know, has to be made good. Listen, at its heart, this show is about, it isn't about reading the Bible. It's not about reviewing things. It's not about making good jokes. It's really a story of two guys realizing that nothing, you know, the dream's not going to happen. And how do you hold on to a little sliver of hope? You make up a topic for a podcast, and you do it each week. And then you don't drink yourself to death every night.
Every time I grab a sliver of hope, it just cuts my fingers, Daniel.
Just like a bunch of 1,000 little paper cuts from pages from the Bible.
Daniel, you know, we're using e-copies of the Bible.
I stayed in a hotel, and maybe I had this conversation with you, but I was telling somebody about, oh, I forgot to take the Bible from the hotel. It would have been good to have. But then they told me that you're not supposed to take the Bible that's been placed there by the Gideons. I thought that was the point. I thought they wanted people to take the Bible, and they like went around and put more Bibles in the hotel ever so often.
No, that's, you did talk to me about that a long time ago, and I said, I don't think you're supposed to just steal it, but I don't think they mind if you're like down on your luck. A person like you who could absolutely afford to buy a Bible, I think you could get your own.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, good thing I didn't take this one either.
Well, Daniel, last week we started the adventure of Joseph.
Yeah. Last episode, seems like we're in the thick of the Joseph story, which, and yeah, he got sold off to slavery. He's taken to Egypt. His dad, Israel, or Jacob, however, depending on how the Bible's feeling at the moment, he's real sad and said he's going to cry until he joins his son in the grave,
sitting in a sackcloth.
Yeah, sitting in a sack that's meant for grain or other crop things, but he's got it around his body.
This should be an exciting continuation. Before I forget, credit out to the Statler brothers for their version of Amazing Grace.
They look fly as fuck.
they look like they're sharing one head of hair between the four of them, but they've each got their own 5 cans of hairspray.
Yeah, I mean, and there's so much hairspray being sprayed.
One of them's in a gray suit, one's in a white suit, one's in a black suit with a red shirt, and one of them is in a different shade of gray. But I mean, he makes up for it for the pizzazz he's got in his smile.
Yeah, well, you know, we can only hope that that after this they were all in their birthday suits. Am I right there, Adam?
You know, I think they might have similar looking birthday suits. They all look to be about the same build. They're just, yeah, they're a quartet, and they are correctly stacked, you know, shortest to tallest. But they're all cut from the same jib, as far as I can tell.
Yeah, they got that wine bottle shape.
Wait, are you talking about their whole bodies, or?
Yeah, I don't know. I try to do a take on the hourglass shape that, like, I don't know, it fell flat. Is what we're so we all understood it. Everybody chuckled and moved on.
We're doing great, Daniel. I think it's your turn to read.
Genesis chapter 38. We should be picking up with what's going on with Jacob / Israel's family. I am, of course, in the Keeper of the Quest Bible, and it's titled Judah and Tamar.
Now, Daniel, usually I follow along and correct you when you say words wrong. What do you say I try just listening, being invested in the story you're telling? Or should I follow along and correct you?
I think that you should try to do that, but at some point you're probably going to just be too
confused.
The urge is going to have, or you're going to have to clear something up. One thing I hope gets cleared up soon. I forget who Judah is. I believe it's the brother who initially said that he wanted to sell Joseph off to slavery rather than kill him.
No, that was Reuben.
No. I meant like he's the one who had the idea to sell him to slavery.
Okay.
Not, maybe you're right. Yeah, and Reuben wanted to come save him from the well. We're picking up with Judah and Tamar. Going to talk about Judah for a while. Verse 1. At that time, Judah left his brothers and went down to stay with a man of Adullam named Hira. There, Judah met the daughter of a Canaanite man, Shua. He married her and made love to her. She became pregnant and gave birth to a son who was named Ur. She conceived again and gave birth to a son that named him Onan. That's sweet. She gave birth to still another son and named him Shelah. It was at Kazib that she gave birth to him.
All right.
Oh, that's pretty okay. Well, we're just another little family getting set up here. Judah got a wife for Ur, his firstborn, and her name was Tamar. But Ur, Judah's firstborn, was wicked in the Lord's sight, so the Lord put him to death.
Dang.
Just like, that's so much, and that's two verses.
Man, I wish I had a little more insight there.
Yeah.
Does the Quest Bible have anything about that?
Yeah, we can do let's do a little early Quest Bible. Why did God put some people to death? Okay. When we read the Old Testament, it may seem that God was arbitrary in his punishment. Okay, you know, let's say in the least. Some people were executed for what seemed to be minor offenses. Other perverse criminals were allowed to continue in wickedness for years. Why does God sometimes appear inconsistent in his discipline? Oh, this is a long explanation because this is actually a sticking point in many areas in the Bible. The Bible reminds us that God's ways are not our ways. And that he takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He wants every person to take responsibility for his or her own wrongdoing and to turn from. On the other hand, God in his wisdom chooses to make an example of some people. And that may be the case with men described in these verses. Their punishment reminds us that even seemingly minor offenses separate us from God. Perhaps God allows some wicked people to live because he wants to give them the time to turn from their evil ways, no matter how bad they may be. He may tolerate the corruption of some for decades or even a lifetime. Some very evil people may have turned from their immoral ways to become great builders of God's kingdom. The Apostle Paul is a prime example.
Well, Daniel, how long do you think it's going to be before the Lord puts us to death?
Maybe the Lord knows that only 15 people are listening and that maybe he lets us continue in our wicked ways because that is punishment enough.
Yeah, maybe so.
Oh, here's a funny thing before we get back to the reading. If you remember in the past, some people were not happy about people marrying Canaanite women, and the Quest Bible addresses this.
Goody.
Wasn't it wrong to marry a Canaanite woman? It's like, wasn't it wrong? Weren't those people the bad people? Are we supposed to just know that, I guess? I don't know. Although it later became clear that religious intermarriage would destroy Israel's faithfulness, Jacob... Whoa. Oh, okay. Jacob... Cool. Yeah. Jacob apparently did not instruct his sons to avoid marrying Canaanite women, while Jacob's grandfather and father had prohibited their sons from marrying Canaanite women. At this point in their clan's history, marrying someone other than a Hebrew did not seem to be wrong in principle. All right. Well, at least there's one thing that the Quest Bible, I don't know. A little iffy there. But anyways, let's get back to Judah. So anyhow, Judah had a son, Ir.
Verse 8 is hot.
Yeah, he was wicked. And he married, but he had time to marry someone named Tamar. Okay, picking up at verse 8. Then Judah said to Onan, another son, sleep with your brother's wife and fulfill your duty to her as a brother-in-law to raise up offspring for your brother. Well, okay then. I didn't know that was a duty, but I guess we know now. There's a Biden joke we can make there if we want to get political. But Onan knew that the child would not be his. Well, yeah, it would. Okay, anyways. Odin knew that the child would not be his. So whenever he slept with his brother's wife, he spilled his semen on the ground to keep from providing offspring for his brother. What he did was wicked in the Lord's sight, and the Lord put him to death also.
Oh, well, there we go. The pull-out method will get you put to death by the Lord.
Well, you know what? Lord ain't never going to smite me down, I'll tell you that much.
I like that he spilled it on the ground. Whoops!
Woo! It was just an accident every time. Ruh-roh. Oh, that's all Onan again. Being silly.
Man, the Lord just smiting people this chapter.
Yeah, the Lord is, he's, you know, and he got up this morning and he's like, I'm not taking any more shit today from this family. I want to read these questions, but I feel like this is going to get even better, so I don't want to get too bogged down.
Yeah, let's keep going.
Verse 11. Judah then said to his daughter-in-law Tamar, live as a widow in your father's household until my son Shelah grows up. For, he thought, he may die too, just like his brothers. So Tamar went to live in her father's household. After a long time, Judah's wife, the daughter of Shua, died. Then Judah had recovered from his grief. When Judah had recovered from his grief, he went up to Timnah to the men who were shearing his sheep, and his friend Hira, the Adullamite, went with him. When Tamar was told, your father-in-law is on his way to Timnah to shear his sheep, she took off her widow's clothes, covered herself in a veil and disguised herself, and then sat down in the entrance of Enam, which is on the road to Timnah. For she saw that, though Shelah had not grown up, she had not been given to him as his wife. When Judah saw her, he thought she was a prostitute, for she had covered her face. Not realizing that she was his daughter-in-law, he went over to her by the roadside and said, come now, let me sleep with you. And what will you give me to sleep with him, she asked. Or sleep with you, she asked. I'll send you a young goat from my flock, he said. Will you give me something as a pledge until you send it, she asked. He said, what pledge should I give you? Your seal and its cord and the staff in your hand, she answered. So he gave them to her and slept with her, and she came pregnant by him. After she left, she took off her veil and put on her widow's clothes again. What is she up to here, Adam?
She's trying to get pregnant because she thought she was going to get old Shelah as a husband eventually.
Oh, okay.
She never got that, so she wants a baby. And if she has the baby of Judah, he's like kind of the patriarch.
Okay.
So that'll give her some power, I guess.
Oh, all right. Well, picking up at verse 20. Meanwhile, Judah sent the young goat by his... I want to say something. This probably doesn't make sense and it's a waste of time, but they use the word meanwhile a lot more these days. I don't know. It just seems like the grammar is getting better in the Bible. Meanwhile, Judah sent the young goat by his friend Adullamite in order to get his pledge back from the woman. But he did not find her. He asked the men who lived there, where is the shrine prostitute who was beside the road at Enam? There hasn't been any shrine prostitutes here, they said. So he went back to Judah and said, I didn't find her. Besides, the men who lived there said, there hasn't been any shrine prostitute here. Then Judah said, let her keep what she has, or we will become a laughingstock. After all, I did send her this young goat, but you didn't find her. About 3 months later, Judah was told, your daughter-in-law, Tamar, is guilty of prostitution, and as a result, she is now pregnant. Oh no. Judah said, bring her out and have her burned to death. Jesus Christ.
Man, this is a strange diversion from the story of Joseph.
Damn. Listen, I'm going to break the fourth wall. We record these things back to back, and I thought we were about to have... We just got done with a good story, and I thought we were just about to have fun talking about the Technicolor Dreamcoat. Now poor lady's going to get burned to death. It's going to be an easy day.
Boy.
All right, verse 25. As she was being brought out, she sent a message to her father-in-law. I am pregnant by the man who owns these, she said, and she added, see if you recognize whose seal and cord and staff these are. Judah recognized them, and he said, she is more righteous than I, since I wouldn't give her to my son, Shelah, and he did not sleep with her again.
Okay.
Is that weird?
Yeah, I guess he's like, well, I did lie to her. So I guess she got me.
All right, verse 27. We may come back to that question later. Verse 27. When the time came for her to give birth, there were twin boys in her womb. She was giving birth to one of them. One of them put out his hand. So the midwife took a scarlet thread and tied it on his wrist and said, this one came out first. But when she drew back his hand, his brother came out. And she said, so this is how you have broken out. And he was named Perez. Then his brother, who had the scarlet thread on his wrist, came out. And he was named Zerah. All right. And then that's the end of the chapter.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
So I guess one hand was hanging out there.
Yeah.
They were like, this guy crossed the plane first. He's the firstborn. Even though the other one fully came out first.
Is this like when the runners, you know, they like stick their heads forward a little bit at the finish line?
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Wow.
Wow. That was a little bit of a wild ride there.
Yeah, that was, I don't remember that story whatsoever.
Yeah.
Wasn't expecting it here after we got this great cinematic lead up to the story of Joseph.
Yeah, just now, I want to, again, this may be a waste of time, but verse 26 is very, like, confusing. And it says, Judah recognized them and said, she is more righteous than I, since I wouldn't give her to my son, Shelah, and he did not sleep with her again. I mean, the Quest Bible's explanation for this is, why did Tamar prefer to be a single parent rather than a childless widow? It seems like everybody's missing the point here.
Like, well, what's the point?
Okay.
What are you confused about before you read the question that doesn't have to do with what you're confused about?
No, I just don't know what he means. He's just like...
He's just saying, I fucked her over, so never mind. Like, okay. She got me.
And he did. Like I guess earlier. What I think is odd is like, and he did not sleep with her again. So I guess like, I don't know. It was, I guess maybe I thought like, with saying like, oh, okay, so don't kill her. But she's not going to be my wife, or I'm not going to.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not going to support her. And I'm guessing the Quest Bible is going to say, you don't want to be alone in the Bible times. You need people to take care of you when you get old, right?
Yeah, well, it says there was less dishonor in being an unwed mother than being childless. Children provided security for the future because the sons born belonged to Judah. Tamar was entitled to benefits from his clan, possibly even a partial inheritance. And her sons would be obligated to provide for her in her old age. So, yeah.
Nice.
She was trying to get some monies. Or some help. Whatever.
She's a smart lady.
Smart lady. Although, almost got burned to death.
Yeah, but she had that staff. She had that seal.
Yeah, she had her ace in the hole there.
She's all good.
Wow, what a roller coaster chapter 38 is.
Well, on a scale of 1 to 4, one to five, what would you give it, Daniel?
You know what? I'm giving this.
The audience is out there salivating, just waiting to hear your verdict.
I'm going
to
give this a 4. That was kind of a badass episode. It was not a badass episode, but a badass chapter.
I'll give it a 4, too, just to get the hell out of here.
That was pretty sweet, though. I mean,
yeah, that was a good.
These fire, good like side fire and quest. Brimstone ones are fun.
Yeah, I like the Lord just smiting people.
Yeah, he just killed two people randomly for pulling out.
I really want to know how they died. That those people interpreted it as the Lord just smiting them. Like, what disease did they have? Or
yeah,
well, did they hang themselves.
Or I guess it's also like smiting, like being, sometimes I think of it just like people catching on fire, just randomly just getting smited.
Right. But what I'm saying is from a historical perspective, supposing some of this is true,
I wonder, I mean, you never hear about like, you never hear about like cancer, or things like that. But also, you know, people could just, I mean, a lot of times people just got diarrhea and died in days, you know, like that was a common thing, right? Was just to get diarrhea, you're dehydrated for a few days, you can't keep anything in, and then you're dead.
I do think, you know, things killed people before cancer, not only because they died younger, but also because there wasn't pollution or like processed food or, mm-hmm. you know, there weren't a lot of carcinogens they were taking in unless they burned their food, I guess.
Yeah.
So I think even if you live to a ripe old age, you might be more likely to die of something that wasn't cancer because we're just taking in them free radicals, baby.
Yeah,
all day long.
We're just eating them cancer stuffs.
Well, that was fantastic. You got anything else to say, Daniel?
That was great. Should have put my phone on silent. No, absolutely not. Take it away, Adam.
Please follow us on Instagram at HostedPod. That's HostedPod. You can see us and other projects that fly under the HostedPod flag. Twitch.tv/HostedPod. And also, you can send us complaints at HostedPod@gmail.com. And I think that's it. maybe we should... No, we could talk about that off air. Leave a little mystery.
Yeah, get ready for a surprise, guys.
Maybe we should order some lengths of rope.
See if we can get smited.
Yeah, you're hearing it here, folks. If Daniel and I are found dead in the coming weeks, God got us.
It's the Lord got us because we... spilled some seed.
Everybody, have a fantastic couple of day arenos, and we'll catch you on the next episode of Reading Heathens.
Bye.
Bye-bye.